From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Welcome once again to Let the Bible Speak. Recently, Dr. Alan Cairns began a study of a subject which is very close to the heart of everyone who professes faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, the subject of prayer. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 6, the Lord Jesus Christ said, But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Yet, if God's people are honest, they often find a tension between God's promises to answer prayer and their experience of those answers. From the biblical record, as well as from the testimony of subsequent history, Dr. Cairns demonstrates the evidence that God does indeed answer prayer. However, as an all-wise Father, God knows what would be good for His people and what would harm them in some way. In a few minutes, Dr. Cairns will continue a message called The Certainty and Nature of God's Answers to Prayer. First, however, he takes the opportunity to speak of his booklet, A New Beginning, with its simple explanation of the gospel. The subject today emphasizes life.
I'm sure you've heard the saying, life is for living. I agree with that. I don't believe the Lord put us on earth to sit on the sidelines of life watching other people live. So many people do that. When I think of the number of people who are healthy and strong and fit and able, and yet they spend most of their days in front of a television screen, and the only real living they do is living through some soap opera or some folly that has been turned out by the cesspool that's called Hollywood, I can hardly imagine that they call that life. It's not life at all. Life is for living. And yet, you know, in the midst of all the things that we count so important to life, and things that really give us excitement and enjoyment and happiness in life, it may be skiing, it may be walking, it may be visiting foreign countries, it may be climbing mountains, it may be swimming in the ocean, it may be sailing boats, all these things that people do, and I'm not saying a word against doing those things, that make them feel they're really living. When you stop to think of it, the question still stands, what is your life? What is your life? Now, if your life consists only of the things that you possess, you're living, according to Jesus Christ, the life of a fool. Luke chapter 12 tells you that emphatically. A man's life consisteth not in the things that he possesses. So that would be a very, very foolish way of looking at real living. So what is your life? That's a question that James asked in the fourth chapter of his epistle. He says, it's a vapor, just like a vapor. I'm sure you've gone outside on a cold morning and you've breathed out and you've seen your breath appear as a vapor. You see how quickly it disappears? Does it hang around all day? No, it doesn't last for a day, doesn't last for a minute. It's gone so very quickly. You've seen steam come out of the spout of a kettle. Well, how long does it last? It's just a vapor. It appeareth for a little time, and then it vanishes away. And that's what the Bible says about your life. You remember the question that Job asked, man dieth. Man giveth up the ghost. Where is he? What about his life now? Where is he? He is somewhere. According to that question, we're now facing the great issue of eternity. Where is he? Is he with Christ in triumph? Or is he without Christ in torments? What is your life? I trust you'll give real consideration to that. Because let me make it very, very plain. If whatever you're living for comes to an end at death and there's no use to you to get you into heaven, then you're living for the wrong thing. Paul said, to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. What is your life? Is your life hid with Christ in God? Is your life the life of a born-again, blood-washed believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, who's now seeking humbly to serve the Lord Jesus and lead others to Him? Then you can also say, to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If you cannot honestly give that as your testimony, then if you're ever to be saved, if you're ever to gain eternal life, you must find it alone in Christ. You must get to Christ. Repent and be converted that your sins may be blotted out. Repent and believe the gospel. That's the command of Scripture. We'd love to help you to get to the Savior. We invite you to be in touch with us, and we'd be happy to send you my booklet, A New Beginning, that will help you in the things of God, and especially toward the knowledge of Jesus Christ, the only Redeemer.
Deep in my heart there's a gladness. Jesus has saved me from sin. Praise to His name, what a Savior, cleansing without and within. Why do I sing of my Jesus? Why is He precious to me? He is my Lord and my Savior.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We're greatly encouraged by the response of you, our listeners, to these broadcasts. Every day we've been receiving letters by mail, by email, and we've been receiving phone calls. Some of you want to say thank you and tell us how much the Lord has blessed His Word to your heart. Some of you have told us of life-changing experiences through the preaching of God's Word. Some of you have written to ask for the literature that we offer here on the program, such as A New Beginning, to which Dr. Cairns made reference earlier in the broadcast. This booklet is a plain man's guide to the way of salvation and going on with God. For a free copy of A New Beginning, or of any of the other literature we mention, please contact us. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may call us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Also, if you enjoy the program, you may like to join us on our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget that word radio, ltbsradio.com. We hope to hear from you and that you'll join us on our website this week.
I was reading just the other day in our family devotions, beautiful text, at the end of 2 Chronicles chapter 30, verse 27. In the period of Hezekiah's reformation, the priests finally and belatedly sanctified themselves. And then we read that their voice was heard and their prayer came up to his holy dwelling, even unto heaven. What a beautiful statement regarding the prayers of God's people. God does answer prayer. Now, right away, we must define what we mean by answer, because I have to be honest and say that as Christians, and as I read what preachers have said, I have to say also as preachers, we're a wee bit Jesuitical here. And in order to save ourselves from this tension of the Bible promising answers and us not really feeling we have received answers, we do a wee bit of Jesuitry and we redefine what it is to answer. How often have you heard God always answers prayer? Sometimes he just says no. Well, you know, come off it now. I mean, we're playing with words when we get to that place. It is possible to think of some things where we expect an answer yes or no, and yes or no will be an answer. Should I go? Should I not go? Yes is an answer. No is an answer. But when we are praying for specific things that need to be done in our lives, and there's no response, and we simply say, well, that's a no, but it's an answer, we're fooling ourselves. It's not how the Bible defines God answering prayer. So,
How does it define it?
Let me give you what the Scripture gives us as an insight into the meaning of God's answer to prayer. It means that He makes a particular response to a particular cry. You think of Isaiah 30, verse 19. Thou shalt weep no more. The idea here is of somebody coming before the Lord, and they're in such anxiety and deep distress of soul, they're pouring out a particular cry to the Lord. The Lord hears them and answers them, with the result that He wipes the tears away. He says, thou shalt weep no more. He will be very gracious unto thee at the voice of thy cry. When He hear it, He will answer thee. The idea is very clear that you come in a particular situation with a particular pressing need. You lift up that particular cry and God gives you an answer that is just as particular as the cry. That's God answering prayer. Put it another way. He gives you the things you ask for. Mark 11 verse 24 is one of the most famous statements of the Savior on the matter of prayer. What things soever ye desire when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. I just need to interject in passing. Believe that you receive them. It's not make yourself believe you receive them. It's not pretend you believe you receive them. It's not Hollywood acting as if you believe. It is pray in faith. That's what he's saying. And ye shall have them. You ask, and you receive. We read this morning in Matthew chapter 7, what man is there of you whom if his son ask bread will he give him a stone? If you come, maybe I'm giving myself away in my time period and the low stratum of Belfast society in which we lived, but in those days in Northern Ireland, not long after the Second World War, when America was getting back into prosperity, or going further into prosperity, over there we felt that every American was a millionaire, and everything was rich and big and wonderful in this country. If you just wanted to be a millionaire, you just came to America. That's the view we had. We actually believed that Americans were so rich that they just ditched their cars after 2 years. They would just blow them off the edge of a precipice or something to get a new car because they didn't need the old one. That's honestly what we believed as kids in Northern Ireland. And it was nice to know that somebody somewhere had plenty, because post-war Britain was a grim, grim place. And until the 1950s you had to have little coupons to buy food, to buy clothing. And when you wanted a snack between meals, you didn't get a candy bar. You would come, and the cry in Belfast, it sounds so strange nowadays, children would come, you'd hear them coming to their parents, their mother usually, saying, Mommy, I want a piece. P-I-E-C-E. And it was abbreviated for a piece of bread, butter, well, margarine, and jam. Preserves, whatever you call it. Can you imagine a child coming in, asking for bread, and its mother gives it a stone? And the child goes away with a beaming face and say, my mommy answered my cry? No, no. If your child asks bread, will you give it a stone? What is Jesus saying here? He says, you ask for bread, you get bread. You ask for a fish, you don't expect a snake. What is it for God to answer prayer? He gives the things we ask for. What is it for God to answer prayer? It is that He causes our deliverance from need and danger. In that famous Psalm 50 verse 15, He says, call upon me in the day of trouble, I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. It's God causing our deliverance. What is it for God to answer prayer? Quite simply, it is God giving a demonstration of His divine power
a proof of His divine love and care on our behalf. In the words of Jeremiah 33, verse 3, "Call upon me, and I will answer thee, and I will show thee great and mighty things," or "great and hidden things, which thou knowest not." Call upon me, I will answer thee, I will demonstrate to thee the great things of God. I'll show my power and my love and concern for the people of God. Now, this is what the Bible means by God answering prayer. And when I say God does answer prayer, this is how I mean it. In all these senses, God indeed does answer prayer. In other words, answers to prayer are real and objective. They are not merely subjective states of mind. They are not mere notions that we get. Answers to prayer are not us talking ourselves into a better frame of mind about a problem. History affords us many examples of God's answering prayer. You think of Abraham praying for Sodom. Let's select that as one of the, you'd say, praying in a lost cause. Here's something that will shake anybody's little neat box of theological systems. Do we believe in the eternal sovereignty, predestinating decree of God? Sure we do. But nonetheless, here's a city doomed, marked for judgment. Abraham prays for it. And as long as he prayed, God answered. What is it telling you? It's telling you, don't make your theological system an excuse for the carnality of a prayerless life. Don't make your belief in divine election the reason why you don't pray for sinners, because the real reason is a lack of love for sinners. And let's be a little more specific here. Don't let your loathing for the sin be an excuse not to pray for sinners. For whom was Abraham praying? He was praying for Sodomites. That's who he was praying for. He was praying for the San Francisco of his day. He was praying for the gay pride people who came out in droves, in public demonstration, willing to murder if they didn't get their way to go ahead and exhibit their lustfulness. These are the foulest, filthiest, wickedest, most devilish creatures you could think of on the face of the earth. And without making the slightest excuse for their sin, Abraham prays to God for them. Prayed for Sodom. I'm very tempted to stop off and do what a preacher shouldn't do, having announced a text in Matthew, to go on to preach on a text in Genesis. Man, we can wrap ourselves up in holy shawls and be nothing but worm-eaten hypocrites in the sight of God. We can make our holy hatred of sodomy an excuse for lack of prayer, when God gives us the example of the friend of God who prayed for the very city of Sodom itself. And as long as he prayed, God answered. I wonder, did Abraham really think, well, the battle's over, I don't need to pray any more than asking if there are 10 righteous. There are bound to be 10 people right with God in this city. There are bound to be 10. Now I can let off praying. I wonder what would have happened if he'd prayed for 5. If he'd got right down to Lot and said, "Lord, if there's one," I wonder what the Lord would have said. All I know is, as far as Abraham went in prayer, God answered prayer. Take Moses in Exodus chapter 17. You have a wonderful picture of Israel on their way. And they have left Egypt. And they come to the valley of Rephidim. And some people are beginning to straggle. They're beginning to get tired. And as they straggle, the Amalekites come around the back and they start trying to cut off the rearmost of the people. It's battle stations all at once for a people, remember, who have spent hundreds of years without any experience of war. The Lord brought them this way instead of the direct way, lest they would actually get into battle too soon, and unless they would faint when they saw the great armies of the Philistines. So he took them this circuitous route to the Holy Land, that they may escape war. But here it comes, the Amalekites. What happens? Moses goes up to the top of the mountain to lift up his hands in intercession before God. Joshua fights the battle with ill-prepared troops against an enemy who had chosen his spot and his time very well. And as Moses held up his hands, Israel prevailed. God answered prayer.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at faithfpc@freepres.org. That's faithfpc@freepres.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.freepres.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free, 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us once again as we let the Bible speak.